Yes, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Yes, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so free, caught in your love for me. I've never been more secure, knowing your heart.
You give me joy
down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
Yes,
you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
Come on, worship the Lord as if he's giving you joy in your soul tonight. Lord, we thank you, God. Praise the Lord, everybody. So glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. God is good. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. I was kind of joking around with the people in the sound booth as I was giving my scriptures and my title. I was talking to Sister Jessica, and she goes, "Oh, you're preaching tonight?" I said, "Yeah." So she goes, "Pastor Roy must be gone." So I made an observation on my way over here that the majority of the time that I've preached lately has been when Pastor Roy's been out of town. So I'm not sure if that means that he trusts me or if he doesn't want to hear me preach. I'll have to ask him when he gets back. I'm just kidding. But God is good. Amen. If we could just turn to the Word of God, Psalms 145, 8 and 9. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works." Then we're going to go to Psalms 147, 3. The Bible says that he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Amen. Let's just pray tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence that's in this place right now, God. I pray that you would just move, God, in a way that only you can move, God, and move upon us, upon our hearts, upon our minds to receive, God, what you have for us to receive tonight. We praise you, God, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Tonight, I just want to speak for a few moments on the topic, mercifully mended. Mercifully mended. And I have to admit that I struggled for a little bit on this topic as I was putting this together for a Wednesday night. But I believe that God directed me in this route because somebody needs to hear these words. And I had a message that I was working on already and switched halfway through that. I'm just trying to follow the Lord's guidance. Amen. Over my years, as short as they may be, I'm still young, but I have observed that our world is filled with brokenness. Every day we encounter people who are wounded, people who have been hurt, people who have experienced the harsh realities of life. The truth that most of us never want to face is that every person either has or will deal with some type of wounds in their lives. The issue is not whether we will deal with brokenness, but it's how we will deal with brokenness. We're all part of a group called the Walking Wounded, even if we refuse to admit it to ourselves. Brokenness is a part of the human condition. We're surrounded by the reality of pain and problems. We have all dealt with hurt in our lives at some point in time, and at some juncture we've experienced those stings of life and the painful experiences that our journey can bring to us. The topic itself is a very broad one, largely due to the fact that there are so many different degrees of pain and hurt. So many different levels of mental and emotional pain that one can endure as a result of their wounds. Some wounds cut into the surface, and perhaps it takes a season in life for them to heal, and there may or may not be a scar, but other wounds cut so deep and inflict so much pain and anguish that we never quite feel the same again. Actions of abuse from a loved one, betrayal from somebody that you trusted, lies and manipulation from a spouse, or abandonment from a father, maybe a mother's unattainable expectations of perfection. Maybe insensitive words from a mentor have cut you to the core, or perhaps a leader or even a pastor has caused you pain. Brothers, sisters, fellow saints, co-workers, we all have our experiences and we all bear our own scars, those scars that tell a story. A lot of times we tend to grieve on our own, and we live in a society and in a time that it's commonplace in our culture to suppress things and to bottle things up, and we bottle all of our feelings and all of our emotions up, and we push them way down, and we compartmentalize everything, all in an act of desperate hope. A hope that it will somehow just one day magically disappear. And so in a moment of frailty, when we're still tender and fragile, we kind of patch things over ourselves, and we put on all kinds of masks and facades, and we're somewhat content in that moment to just limp through life, gritting our teeth and toughing it out. All because we bought into a lie that if anybody finds out what's really going on, well, then they're going to look at me differently. Or they're going to treat me like I'm damaged goods, or they're going to act differently around me. Perhaps maybe they're going to judge me. And so when I observe people's behavior and their responses and reactions to offense and mistreatment, there's many different side effects. The telltale signs of the walking wounded. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, "The spirit of a man will sustain him, his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it?" In other words, your spirit, your human spirit, can possess the ability to lift you up in infirmity. When you're sick or even on your deathbed, you can be of a sound mind and a good countenance, but a wounded spirit, the Bible says, nobody can bear it. In other words, you can try to suppress it all that you want to, and you can try to hide those things as best as you can, push everything way down inside or compartmentalize those things. But no matter what you do, there's always going to be those telltale signs and side effects of those unmended wounds and improperly treated wounds. Those wounds untreated fester and they become infected. They hurt, kind of like a sliver. You pluck it out, and sometimes that tip of that sucker stays in there, and the skin heals over, and yeah, you can get around and you can function, but every time you bump into that area, something touches that area just right, it sends that sharp shooting pain through your whole hand or wherever that sliver is. And just like an injured animal doesn't want you to touch it, doesn't want you to pet it, doesn't want to allow you to get close to it, we act out in similar ways when we're wounded. We develop defense mechanisms, we build up walls and barriers to try to protect ourselves. But the problem is that when we do that as Christians, we shut out the very people that God is trying to use us to minister to, or use to minister to our pain. Sometimes we end up even shutting God himself out, and we only add to the suffering. We build up walls and barriers, and we compartmentalize everything. And we oftentimes end up completely blocking out God's spirit from flowing through us into the lives of those around us who he's called us to minister to. As Christians, we tend to live with our hearts on our sleeves. It's one thing I've observed. And we pray for sensitivity, and we understand the importance of transparency and vulnerability because we live that way. A lot of times in my own personal life, you can find it easy to become hurt or offended because we live out there. We live open. We live vulnerable. If someone we love backslides, or somebody walks out on us, or somebody that we've supported, believed in, prayed for, loved, and we've watched them grow. Maybe you've invested in them personally, and they walk away. That cuts deep. Believe me, I know. I'm familiar with those kinds of wounds, having been a youth pastor and investing in children's lives, praying for children, loving children, and having them walk away and live what I see as self-destructive lifestyles, and even hearing words of them speaking against the church. That hurts. That hurts because you love those people. Amen. And even when they begin to speak those things, but so they leave wounds, and these wounds have side effects: anger, bitterness, fear, depression, anxiety. And we walk around this way thinking and feeling like I'm messed up, scared to feel, scared to hurt, scared to let anyone inside. And so we cover all that stuff up, and we wear all these different kinds of masks. We come out with painted on smiles, and we put on good shows. We go to work, we hang out with our friends, we come to church, people ask us how we're doing, and we tell them we're doing all right, even if we're not. Anybody ever done that before? I've done it. We all do it. You walk away wishing you would have said something to them. Maybe that was your opportunity to connect, and they walk away and they know something was off with you, something was wrong, but they never say anything. And I always wondered why we do that in church. When church is supposed to be the place that we feel comfortable reaching out to one another, comfortable opening it up to one another, but I feel like we do it especially sometimes at church. Why do we care so much about what people might think if they find out we're broken, and especially in church? We get so worried about the idea of people knowing that we're not okay every time. I mean, let's be honest, we hide it as best as we can, and people find out eventually. Amen. We get this seasoned saint mentality. We do. When we get to this place where we feel that since we've been coming to church for so long and since we've been doing this for so long that people just expect us to have everything all together all the time and be okay, and so now you can't let people know that something's going on with you or that not everything's all right now. We do that. We be honest with ourselves. I've done it. But it's only a matter of time before it catches up with you. But we serve a God, church, who understands our pain. He understands our hurts. He knows what it's like to be wounded. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Amen. If we want to be healed, we have to be willing to admit that we're wounded. We live in a society that loves to self-medicate pain, and that's where most of our addictions come from. And we can self-medicate in a lot of different ways, not just drugs and alcohol. And yes, it may numb the pain for a while, but it never mends the wound. What does the word mend mean? Let's take a look. The word mend means to repair something that is damaged or broken. Repair something that's damaged or broken. Church, we serve a God that loves to mend what has been torn apart. Amen? He loves to repair what's broken. He loves to heal what is damaged and what is hurting. I believe that at every single moment, God is working in this world with restoration power. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? That you have to be able to admit that you're wounded. You have to be able to and be willing to identify the source of the pain and the source of the wound. I spent some time talking with a good friend of mine outside of my house in his car, and we were just talking about how it's interesting that we go through life and we have these things that cause us to be certain ways that we are, and we always try to fix the way that we are, but we never want to take the time and go through sometimes the pain of going back and figuring out what caused the initial hurt or the initial wound that how we are is a byproduct of that. You understand? And so I've been praying about that a lot lately, and so, amen. If somebody has wounded your spirit, one of the hardest parts is you have to be able to forgive them. That's hard. When somebody's caused you pain and somebody's caused you hurt, when we refuse to forgive, it's like we become enslaved to that situation. And we begin dwelling on it. We become haunted by it. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight that if you would forgive, if you would release the person that caused you pain tonight at the altar, you would be set free. Amen. I understand that the very moment that we even begin to think about those words sometimes in situations, our mind begins to argue with us. But you don't know what they did to me. Or they lied to me over and over and over again. She intended to destroy my career, or you can't imagine the pain that they've put me through. If you only know what this person has done to my family, you would be angry too. You would think this way too. I was abused. How do you forgive something like that? I was taken advantage of by my own family. How do you forgive in a situation like that? And I just want to take a few moments to just clarify and clear up some of the misconceptions that we have about forgiveness. In some ways, it's easier for me to say what forgiveness is not rather than what it is. These misconceptions matter because sometimes when we say we can't or we won't forgive, we aren't actually talking about biblical forgiveness. So I'm just going to list a few here, things that forgiveness doesn't mean. It does not mean approving of what someone else did to you. It does not mean pretending that evil or bad never happen. It does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. It does not mean justifying evil so that sin somehow becomes less sinful. It doesn't mean overlooking abuse. It doesn't mean denying that others tried to hurt you repeatedly. And it doesn't mean letting other people walk all over you. It doesn't mean forgetting the wrong that was done, and it does not mean pretending that you were never wounded. Amen. In some cases, it doesn't even mean that you have to verbally tell somebody that you have forgiven them. I remember one of the most powerful altar calls that I was ever a part of. And I remember Pastor Phil was there. It was at a winter youth convention. And God revealed to me that there were some certain things that I was doing in my life, some defense mechanisms I had developed, some walls that I had built up, and that I didn't even realize that were there, and it was all a byproduct of wounds that had never properly been dealt with and unforgiveness that I had towards a specific person, and that I knew that I would never physically be able to or have the opportunity to talk to face-to-face, or that it was even appropriate for me to do that. And so although I could never tell that person face-to-face, I forgave them in that moment at that altar, and I let it go, and I allowed God to do a work in me, and I allowed him to address and go at places in my heart that I had closed off. And it was painful for a while, but God went in there, and he mended those wounds. He worked on me, and I released that, and I wept, and I cried before God. And I felt such a weight lift off of me in that moment. I can't describe it. It was so powerful, Sister Brown, as I forgave this person for all of the wrongs that they had done. Amen. And that's what forgiveness does. It has the power to release you from the bondage of all of the hurt, shame, guilt, anger, and bitterness that surrounds the circumstance or the situation that you were in. The Bible says he was beaten. He was whipped. A crown of thorns plunged into his head. So to say that he was physically wounded would be an understatement. But the Bible also says that he was mocked by those he sought to save, spit upon. He was denied by his very own, betrayed for riches, and humiliated. Yet despite all of that, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with that, or maybe you're struggling with a wounded identity. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 6 through 11, that now it happened on a Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered, and so the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who hath the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood, Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful for me on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he looked around them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed one to another what they might do to Jesus. Now, we already know that whenever God is about to do something, there always has to be, as the scripture says, these critics out there. And heaven forbid if there was somebody in the church with a need and another person was there, a critic was there waiting to condemn them or criticize the person with the need, tell them they aren't worthy enough to receive what they're asking for. And the Bible says that those critics were out. But in verse 8 it says, but Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth among them. And then Jesus said unto them, well, I ask you one thing. Is it lawful for me to on the Sabbath to save life or to destroy, to do good or to do evil? And looking around all of them, all that room full of critics, he saw the man with the need. And he said, stretch forth your hand. And he restored his hand, whole as the other, complete as the other. Amen. The Bible says he stood in a room in a sanctuary like we're in today. And he went to preach. And in that room, there was a congregation like today. However, it was different there. That congregation was full of Pharisees and Sadducees and people who were looking to accuse Jesus so that they could condemn him, take him to trial and to crucify him. But Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said, let me ask you guys a question. Is it lawful for me to do good or to do evil? And he said, forget all you. I'm going to do what I've been sent to do. Amen. There's a desperate need amongst my people. There's a man in this room right now who's got an infirmity. He's got a withered hand. And the Bible says that the withered hand was his right hand. And we understand through study that the right hand in the Bible was a symbol of power. It was a symbol of strength. It was a symbol of dominance. And so this man, his right hand was withered. It was the hand that he plowed the field with, the hand that he took care of his family with, the hand that he provided with. And it was crippled. It was injured. And we don't know the specific reason why it became deformed. Some say it was leprosy, but we don't specifically know. But we know that it was wounded, and that wound had become his identity. He was the man with the withered hand. The Bible doesn't even say a name. It just says the man with the withered hand. And perhaps maybe somebody in this room right now has an infirmity that has become your identity. And if you were to ask somebody, they would say, yeah, that's the woman who lies all the time or can't seem to get it right, or that's the man who's addicted to pornography, or that's the gossip, or that's the person who lives in fear and anxiety or depression, or that's the person who struggles with depression or low self-esteem. That's the man, that's the woman. Amen. We all have names. We all have reputations. We all have people who want to criticize us. That's the liar. That's the fornicator. But Jesus looks beyond all of that, and he finds your need. In the middle of a congregation that was full of critics, he found the need, and he found the wounds, and he mended, and he restored, and he healed. Amen. And I believe that Jesus is in this place right now, and I believe that he's speaking to some needs. I believe that he's dressing some things that are deep, some things that have been unresolved. Perhaps he's speaking to some old wounds that need to be mended tonight. Amen. And if the musicians could come and we could stand. Church, Jesus the healer is ministering in this place tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Jesus, we thank you for your presence, God. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight that if you would just bring those needs to the foot of the cross, if you would just bring them to Jesus tonight and allow him to go to the deep places, the places that have been covered up, boarded up, walled off, the places that you never wanted to go before, that if you would let Jesus reach in and address those past hurts, I believe that you would leave this place tonight restored, feeling more complete than you've ever felt in a long time. I believe that tonight. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you would just forgive who needs to be forgiven tonight and release what needs to be released. You could leave this place tonight mended. I think of my mom when I think about this topic. I think about my mom when I was a child, and I would come in from the house right after riding my bike and doing all kinds of dumb stuff, scraping my knees up, and I'd come in all hurt, bloody, bruised. I'd come in the house crying, and as soon as I knew my mom saw me, I tried to toughen up because I had a busted up knee, and I knew that my mom was going to want to do all kinds of stuff to it, put some antiseptic on it, and that would sting, you know. And so I would try to hide it, right, from my mom. But my mom could always tell something was going on because I'm her son, right? Amen. And so she would come up to me, and she would know something was up, so she'd observe me, and I'd try to put on my bravest face and tough it out. But she knew what was going on. And she'd say, "Son, what's going on? What's wrong?" "Nothing." "No, something's going on. Let me see. Let me see." And I'd guard it. I'd guard it. I didn't want her to see. But she would, with the gentle touch of a mother, she would put her hand on my cheek, tell me, "Son, it's going to be all right." She would take me in, get out the antiseptic. She would talk me through it, calm me down. She would clean it out, and everything would be okay. And I think sometimes we do that with God, when God's speaking to us. We want to guard ourselves. We want to hide it because, ouch, that's going to hurt. I'm in pain. But God's in this place right now, and He's saying, "You're my child. I know something's wrong. Just let me address it. Just let me clean it out. Let me do some work on you. And I promise you're going to feel better." And as these musicians begin to sing, I just want to open up these altars and give you an opportunity to come and pray and be with God.
God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire. Set me on fire.
Oh, hallelujah. That's it.
I have in these
bring your cares to the Lord.
God, all that I am,
lay them at Jesus' feet.
On
He understands. He knows.
Set me on
He cares.
Fire. Set me on fire. Here I am.
My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus.
Pouring out my life,
oh, yes,
gracefully
Lord.
Broken.
What a great God, what a great God we serve.
God, arms wide open.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty
God,
love.
God, you're so good, Lord.
Stands strong to the
oh,
end.
God, you're so good, Lord.
Your
you understand.
Purpose in me.
That's why we bring our cares to you, Lord.
You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Gracefully broken.
Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God.
Here I am.
What a God, what a God, what a God.
My life, grace.
What a God
broken.
We serve.
Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
To
like you.
Hold it.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Hold it.
God.
Holding
what a great God. What a great God.
Back.